Good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a word of prayer this morning. Father God, give thanks for this day that you have made, Lord. We invite you to speak to us through the word today. Convict us, give us direction and a purpose. We just hunger for your word and presence. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to read from verse 20 to 40. And just some context for before verse 20, Paul is talking about speaking in tongues and speaking in prophecy. So in verse 20, Paul writes, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, 'By men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people. And even so they will not listen to me,' says the Lord. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe." Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, and in all the churches of the saints. The women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Was it from you that the word of God first went forth, or has it come to you only? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Amen. All right. So, again, give a little context of what's going on. Paul is talking, writing to the church, and the context is he's speaking on prophecy versus tongues. And especially, he's emphasizing the pros and cons of both. And one of the issues that is happening, and you can especially keep this in mind as we go through the verses, is tongues, the way people have been doing tongues, making use of the tongues, has been very disruptive, right? So tongues is the intention is it's supposed to be something done for your personal devotional time, right? So Paul even talks about how he makes use of tongues in his personal prayer time and his personal worship time. He says he makes use of tongues and I guess his regular tongues, right? And so basically when he's singing, he'll sometimes sing in tongues and then sometimes he'll sing, I don't know, the Psalms, and he does both, right? So verse 20, he starts off, and this is kind of more instruction in the context of church, right? Because there's disruption because people are speaking tongues publicly and people don't understand what's going on. And he says, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. And so what he's saying, paraphrase, is he's like, stop being immature, be mature. What does that mean? He says, you got to think, right? You got to think of what you're doing, in this case, speaking tongues, and why you're doing it, right? That's really maturity, one aspect of how you could define maturity, right? If you ask someone something immature, I think of my children, right? And I ask, why did you do that? And they're like, I don't know, because I wanted to. And that's kind of the situation, right? People are speaking in tongues, they're coming up, speaking it publicly, and the maturity is like, why are you doing that? And maybe they have a spiritual, oh, this is what the Spirit is leading me to do. And then they'd be like, why? Right? And then it says, he uses this example. He says, it is written, by men of strange tongues and by lips of strangers, I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. And so Paul is quoting from Isaiah 28, verse 11 to 12. And in Isaiah 28, the prophet Isaiah is announcing judgment on the Israelites because the Israelites are refusing to listen to Israel. They're refusing to listen to the prophets from Israel. And so as a result of that refusal, it says, so because they're refusing to listen to their prophet, the result is, implication is, they will then try to listen and abide to the, I guess, people that they're not going to understand, which are the Assyrians who are invading. And so Isaiah is kind of making a declaration that, see, here is the sign of your unbelief because you're choosing to listen to those that you don't even understand. Why is he quoting that? Because in verse 22, he also talks about how your tongues, if you use it in a public setting and people don't understand, it's also a sign of the unbelief. Because what's going to happen, right, is, and this is where Paul is asking us to be mature, to think, right? Because what will happen when, like, say, in a context, especially with newcomers, people who are not Christians, if people start speaking in tongues, they come to church for this, or even like a new Christian, people are like, speaking in tongues, what is the reaction? How will people receive it? Right? They're not going to understand. It's not going to understand. In fact, it will be a sign, in the same way he parallels in Isaiah, it will be a sign of their unbelief, right? Because they're like, that's what's going on. And not only that, but he also points out how somebody will receive it. So if someone's, again, new to this stuff, they come and people are, I mean, I remember the first time I got exposed and saw tongues, and I thought it was so weird, right? Like, what is going on? I thought it was like a crazy cult documentary like type thing. And Paul says that exact same, exact comparison. He says, will they not say that you are mad? Which is, people are going to think you're crazy, right? Because there's no understanding. You're just speaking, I guess, gibberish to these people. And people aren't going to understand. Instead, think, what would be better? And he's saying prophecy would be much more appropriately made use of. Because when that happens, it's very clear, right? You're speaking in human language that's known to the other person. And God will reveal the secrets of the person's heart. And it'll touch them. And then they'll feel so convicted and they'll praise Jesus, right? Instead of, and that's the response, if you're, again, if you really think about it, what are we trying to achieve, right? We want to glorify God, right? So the response that we want to get from people, whether it be, I mean, in this case, it's tongues, but it could be anything, right? We want them to think, you're weird, you're crazy. Or do we desire them to glorify God? And so that's the preference, right? It's more appropriate. And then he makes it, gives us more mature thinking of what is it that you're trying to achieve, right? We got to think. And he says, when you assemble, so basically anytime we get together for church or house church, he says, look, this is what happens. Each one has a psalm, so it's like we worship, has a teaching, there's a sermon, has a revelation, so the spiritual gifts come, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. That's the point, right? It's to edify. It's to edify. That's the point of the gifts. That's the point of us coming together every week at house church. What is the point? It's to edify. Not just for fellowship, right? It's not just social. It's for edification. And the word edification, the Latin word, the root, it's actually, it's a construction term originally. The original word is a construction term. And the term literally means to build up. Like you would use it like to build up, you know, and construct a building. Of course, it's become a common, I guess, spiritual term that we use. But it is to build up. And so when we gather, it's to build up yourself, I guess, right? But it also is to build up one another. And so that's the point of when we gather. It's not just for what we get. It's not just to consume. It's not just consumerism of what can I get out of it? Oh, this one, not so good. Oh, you pick and choose. It's not just that, right? The point is to build up so you're also meant to build up each other. And so I know maybe in house church, it's kind of, you could see that happen more. But even on a Sunday service, right, that's called serving, right, where you can build up the body. But it could even be something so small as, you know, having a conversation with somebody before the service, after service, where you have a word of encouragement. You're just listening to someone so they feel understood. That's all the building up. And I want to say that's why it's so important that especially for house church or Sunday service that you come in person, right? Because if you're only doing it online, you're getting built up, you're receiving, but you're not able to build someone else up. So you need to come. You need to. It's something that is done corporately and requires presence. And then in verse 27, Paul is great. He gives very specific instruction. All right, so how should this all go down? Right? It's rare it's so specific, but right now he gives you the exact rundown. And so he basically says, if you're going to speak in a tongue, like, and we've had that happen before for retreats where someone comes up, speaks in a tongue, you got to do it one by one by one. Take turns, right? It's not like, okay, come up, have three people come and they just all speak in tongues at the same. One by one and one. It's got to be orderly. There's a maximum of 2 to 3 people, right? So don't exceed that. And there must be an interpreter for it. So what does that mean? It means you need to... So I was thinking like, oh, but sometimes like, what if you feel like a need to share in tongues, but you don't know if there's an interpreter, right? And then what do you do? So what does that look like? And so I remember for some retreats where I saw a brother and he had a desire to speak in tongues. And before he went out, he talked to some of the other leadership. And he's like, hey, I feel the desire to speak in tongues. Do you think anyone here, or do you think you can, someone who used to always interpret, do you think you can interpret? And then so usually that person would go, okay, I think I'll be able to interpret. And so he would go up and then share the tongue, and then the next person would come and interpret. And then Paul's very specific. If there's no interpreter, then don't go up, right? Don't just go up, see what happens, and wait for an interpreter. I don't know, right? Because I feel like sometimes that could happen, and I don't want to say that's not a God thing. And then in the same way, he says the same thing for prophecy. Same thing. Prophecy, max 2 to 3, also come up one by one in an orderly fashion, right? And he has some instructions. So one, it must be judged, right? Don't think just whatever comes, like if you have a word, like it still needs to be filtered through. And so also I want to say, if you ever receive a prophetic word, I mean, I don't know, have you ever received a prophetic word and you're so disappointed, right? Because you're like, oh, I want to tell you, I've never been disappointed by a prophetic word. Not because they were so accurate, but because of this. It says you need to judge it, right? So I don't just take whatever anyone says and be like, okay, I'm putting all my hope in this. I would take that word, I would judge it, I would see if it aligns with the Bible, number one. But number two, I would pray, right? I would pray and say, God, is this really what's on your heart? Is this what you're trying to say? Right? Because sometimes it might not be. And so even then, if I'm not sure, what do I do? I symbolically will take that prophetic word, put it on a shelf, right? So it's just there, right? So number one, judge. The other thing, I just caught this when we were reading it right now, actually. It says, you can all prophesy once so you may learn and all may exhort, right? That's the point. You should do it so you can learn and exhort. And it made me think of house church, right? Exhort, it's hard for me to define it, but you know, it's to like really encourage someone. But I want to focus on the learn part, right? The learn is because I think of house church where we make use of the prophetic, and really it is to learn. We say it's a safe place where we can practice and learn. Because how can you learn if you don't do it, right? How can you learn unless you sometimes you have to put yourself out there, take a risk, and maybe even sometimes make some mistakes, right? And I think the key, I think as a leader, as people do it and maybe sometimes mistakes, you have to look at the heart. Like, what is the intent, right? And if they really are trying to bless, and sometimes you make some mistakes in a house church context where it's safe, then I think it's okay, right? So versus if you're really doing it for prestige, that's another thing that we would have to talk about. All right, and then we get to verse 34. The verse where if you read it, I don't know, for me, it's like, oh, this is a tough passage. Why'd they have to put that in there, right? And it says, the women are to keep silent in the churches. And then it's like, what? Why just the women? How about the men? It's so unfair. It's so sexist, right? And so you really have to understand the context and not just take it literally, right? Obviously, women, they pray, they prophesy, right? So in this context, you have to understand, because it talks about it in chapter 11, it mentions. So the context here is, remember, the overarching thing that they're talking about is disruption. So the context, if you've seen, I don't know if anyone's seen Ms. Marvel, but Ms. Marvel, it takes place in the context of a Middle Eastern family. And so they go to mosque. So likewise, in, the synagogues, men and women, when they gather for their, worship service, it's very different from this. They would gather as men and women, they would separate them. So there's the men who are sitting together and the women who are sitting together. And so also the context right now is a lot of Gentiles are joining these services. And so they don't know what the etiquette is when you come together. And so as a result, as the men and women are separated, the circumstance is the women are being basically very chatty. Because it says it is, in the end of 35, it writes, it is improper for a woman to speak in church. And so this word speak, Paul uses, is the Greek word, it's a verb, laleo, which means to talk, question, argue, profess, or chatter. And so as, whoever's up on stage or at the front doing his teaching, they were critiquing it. They would ask questions. So there's all this talk, and it's very disruptive for even the women who are there. And I'm sure if the men, I don't know how close they are, but it was just being disruptive and tough for the speaker. And so the example illustration I could think of is when you watch a movie, right? Have you ever watched a movie and people are chatting and talking? Or in this case, my spouse, they're always asking you questions about the movie. And so it's very disruptive. And so what do I tell usually my wife if she's starts asking Marvel's who's that guy? Why? I'm like, hey, I basically tell her, let's talk about this after. Okay? Especially if we're watching a movie. If we're watching something on TV, I will pause it. I'll pause it. Okay, what questions do you have? But if it's actual movie, I say, can we talk about it after? And that's basically the instruction Paul's saying. He's saying, hey, if you have questions and, you want to chit-chat and all these things, talk about it with your husband after the service. That would be more appropriate. Well, time. Okay, I want to still talk about, verse 37, almost to the end. Paul kind of wrote, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write. In verse 38, he says, and that it is from God. And he says, if anyone does not recognize them, he is not recognized. So the circumstance is people are questioning Paul's teaching, right? They're being critical of it. People are being skeptical of it. They think it doesn't apply to them because they're so spiritual. And that happens to us too, right? Where sometimes people who think they're very mature and very spiritual, where suddenly the word of God doesn't necessarily apply to them, right? Whether it be, especially if it's challenging. Forgiveness, right? Forgiveness, super clear in the Bible. And sometimes people are like, I don't know. I don't know if I have to forgive, right? It's one thing to struggle with forgiveness and say, oh, it's really hard. I'm trying to forgive. But it's a whole other if you're like, yeah, I don't think I need to. Right? I don't think to. I think I'll do it when I feel like it in my own time. Or even just love, right? Being loving. Well, I mean, chapter 13 talks so much about love. And we're like, oh, you know, no need. I think I'll just protect my heart, right? And so, yeah, do not let your feelings or your spiritualness take the place or be overemphasized or do not put it above the Word of God, right? The Word of God is what leads us and guides us. Let's, Sterling, if you would come up. Yeah. At the end, Paul writes, earnestly desire to prophesy. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. All things must be done properly in an orderly manner. And so we need to be mature. We need to think about the why and the how and what is appropriate, right? In this case, he's like, yeah, prophecy, it's up there. Because it really edifies and encourages others. And even tongues, I want to tell you, it's not bad. It's really good. That's why he's saying don't forbid it. Because I know right now, everyone is kind of hating on tongues because it's so, look what it's done to the church. But no, tongues, it's a gift from God. But how you use it, the maturity of how you're to implement it, is what makes it a blessing and what makes it appropriate. And so as Sterling leads us, I just felt this morning for us to just take some time just to reflect on specifically the gift of tongues. Because obviously the way maybe our experience with tongues is, the context is kind of different, right? Instead of maybe we're overusing it, maybe we are underusing it, right? And so just go before the Lord and think, like, what is the, like, why tongues? Why should I also, why does Paul love speaking in tongues so much? And maybe if you haven't, or if you desire it, maybe ask for the gift. But if you haven't, maybe just go with the Lord to commit to really speaking and in the Spirit again.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give
Let's turn to our screens. Let's pray for our community today. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer. Let's pray for God's healing, of course. Let's pray for encouragement and the strength to endure and continue with this very difficult season. And let's also pray for the support that they have around them. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for their healing and also for their hearts, that they would be receptive to the word, and for just opportunities for these people to share to their friends or family members. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God's full healing and restoration. Let's also pray for those who have COVID. Pray for Jungmin, Hyunjin, Anna Lee. And also Wes. And also pray for any frontline medical workers. Pray for their protection and their hearts. Let's also pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for Sterling, for God to lead him to open doors and just connect them with the right employer. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore, SPSG with PSAM Kim, Indonesia. Let's pray for SPIN and Pastor Salamat, and also Philippines Spill with Pastor Ernie. Let's also pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for SP Kids with Lisa. Let's pray for SP Youth with Caleb and SPU with Grace. Let's pray for these ministries. Let's also pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for IP led by Matt, The Well led by Harris and Christina, and also River led by our inner healing ministry led by Rachel. Let's also pray for our outreaches. Let's pray for Igape, Homi. There's no more SP Lights. Let's pray for Bridge and Recreation. Let's also pray for our evening outreaches, Homi. Let's pray. Next, let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Tayan, Hina, and any other pregnancies. Let's pray for the moms, for their nausea and just their discomfort. Let's pray for the protection of the babies. Let's pray for the dads to be understanding and supportive, and just a lot of encouragement and strength and excitement for the new season that's to come. Let's also pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray for East Bay McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Ventress. Just a really fruitful and a time of coming together for the house church, for their first house church. Yes, Lord, thank you for this day and your word today, a reminder of the why, to really think of the why, Lord. And just as you shared about the spiritual gifts, and the why is to really edify, let us reflect also on the why we do many of the things we do. Is it just permissible, or is it also edifying, Lord? And Lord, let us think things through and really heart check and also assess the way we are living our lives, whether they're aligned, Lord, that we would really want to glorify you, to build your kingdom, to build your body of Christ and this family, and just lead us and guide us and search our hearts, Lord. We just offer you this day and give it to you and surrender it to you, Lord, as you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray.